All right, can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? I know sometimes people don't like to think about it, but you know, when you think about Jesus, they like to think about him as a baby Jesus or maybe the risen Jesus. And that's good to see the risen Jesus, the Lord Jesus, King Jesus. But especially when you take communion, God wants you to focus on the sacrifice Jesus. He wants you to see him in his passion. He wants you to see him with those stripes on his back. He wants you to see him with those nails in his hands and in his feet. He wants you to see him on the cross. He wants you to see that sacrifice. God seen it as a glorious thing. People don't want to often spend time thinking about that bloody sacrifice. Well, it's the most important thing that's ever happened to humanity. Ever. Paul told us how to discern the body of Christ. When we look at this bread, we see him in his sacrifice. And we see his body pounded and beaten. We also see them stripes on his back. And we see them holes in his side and in his hands and in his feet. His body pierced. And we see that all of our sins, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. His body was broken for us, and we're taking this for our healing, and we receive it in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, our salvation is found in that blood. His blood washed away our sins completely. He made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus so that we could boldly enter the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in a time of need. God looks at you as though you've never done anything wrong. Because according to the blood of Jesus, you haven't. We thank you for this. Sometimes it's hard for people to realize their future because they're remorseful about their past. It happens a lot. Something happens to people and they can't deal with the past. And it wrecks their future, wrecks their present. And God doesn't want that for you. That's not his best. You have to let God heal you from the inside out. Regardless of what happened in the past, you have to let him heal you so you can go forward. He has a bright, glorious future for you. Open up your Bibles to the book of Acts. One thing that a lot of people don't realize is their authority. People have authority in the name of Jesus. Let's look at this book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1. One thing about people is they think they have to do absolutely everything just right. Everything has to be, you know, you can't do this, you can't make this mistake, this is, or your authority's all blown. I want you to notice Peter and John. Verse 1 says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And this stop right there. That blew the perfect thing right out of the water right there. Evidently, Peter and John didn't know that they had been delivered from temple worship yet. See, they're saved by grace. What are they going to the temple for? Evidently, they hadn't let all their old life go yet. But anyway, let's go on with it here. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Now, this guy, this was a daily thing for him. He couldn't work. And people would have to carry him to the gate of the temple, set him there so he could beg for a living. Now, this is the temple. Now, you got to realize that Jesus entered into that temple a few times. So Jesus walked by that guy a few times. Well, why didn't Jesus heal him? He certainly could have. Or could have he? We're going to see the answer to that here in a minute, but this is something that frustrates people all the time. Well, I prayed for that guy. Why didn't he get healed? And sometimes people get frustrated and they say, well, God just doesn't hear my prayers. I prayed for my mom. Why didn't she get better? I prayed for my friend and he still died. One thing about a prayer, you send it out. You send it out. It has to be received. Amen? Somebody has to receive it. They have to receive it. We're going to get there. Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. See? You can pray for everybody under the sun. But if they don't receive it, there's nothing you can do about it. But here's the thing. You did your job because you sowed the seed. Remember in the parable of the seed sower? The sower sows the word. The sower sows the seed. You're the sower. You sow the seed. The seed is the word of God. You sow the word into people's lives. You can do that by witnessing to them. You can do that by praying for them. You can do that in a lot of different ways. But they still have to receive it. Remember, he tells us about this. Some of it fell by the wayside and the birds got it. Some of it fell on the rocks and it grew up for a little bit, but it didn't have no depth of soil and the sun wilted it away. And some of it fell in weeds and didn't prosper. But some fell on good ground. And it grew. you are not responsible for the fruit. You are responsible for the seed sown. Amen? Some people get frustrated if they don't get somebody born again. Did you sow the word? Then you did your job. If you sow the word, you did your job. See, the Bible tells us that in the end times, the reaper is going to overtake the sower. You know, the harvester is going to overtake the sower. You know, and we see that sometimes. You know, you'll be going along and you'll witness to somebody and they just get born again right immediately. And you think, wow, did I say just the right thing? Or what did I say to this guy? What happened? No, it was the seven other guys that had sowed seed into this guy's heart that finally got him prepped enough where he could receive it when you happen to be there at just the right time. Amen? And then you go down and you witness to the next guy and nothing. And you get frustrated. This happens to people. And they say, oh, I'm tired of this. Nobody listens to me anyway. They're not supposed to be listening to you. They're supposed to be listening to the word that you're saying. And they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. See, this is where we got to get our pride out of the way. We go tell people about Jesus, they either receive him or they don't. We go pray for people, they either receive it or they don't. But they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the word, they're rejecting Jesus. Amen? Now here's Peter's answer to this guy that was going to receive something from him. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Basically, Peter said, I don't have anything to offer you other than the name of Jesus. Which, in all honesty, that's the only thing that he had that was worth offering that guy. You know, the guy lived off alms for all his life. The Bible tells us that they brought him to the gate daily to get alms. That's how he lived. He lived off alms. So, what good was silver and gold going to do him anyway? Peter didn't have any. I suppose maybe if Peter would have had a couple nickels to rub together, he could have given him that silver and gold, and the guy would still be sitting there. He'd still be sitting there. But Peter offered him the one thing that he had that was useful, and that was the name of Jesus, and the guy got healed immediately. But here's the thing. Peter had to put faith into what he said. Faith is corresponding action to what you believe. And here's the deal. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And then he grabbed him and pulled him up. But here's the norm for the day. We'll pray for somebody and let them sit there. Pray for somebody, hope they get up. Because it'll take a little bit of a risk, a little bit of acting in faith to grab somebody and say, you're going to get up and you're going to walk. That means you're all in 100% at that point. The neat thing about faith is faith will get you out on the ice where you're going to break through, but grace will keep you on top of the water. And that's where God wants us. He doesn't want it to look like it was something of your own natural ability. You know, it caused a big stir, and Peter did some witnessing there. But I want you to notice, go down to verse 16. His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. As the faith which is by Him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter just glorified God right there. He gave the praise to God. Peter could have said, look how cool I am. You know, this guy got up, healed, started leaping and running around. And everybody was got their eyes on Peter. And Peter could have said, yeah, I learned that at Bible school. Yeah, you should have seen how long I spent fasting last month. I prayed in tongues till my tongue was going to fall off. And then I came down here and look what happened. No, 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 no. No, you're not the healer. You're not responsible for the fruit. You're the sower. And the Holy Spirit is responsible for the fruit. Amen? Remember, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. So that takes it where you don't have to be a Holy Ghost hot rod to do this stuff. You just have to believe in the name of Jesus and do what Jesus said. You do the praying and He'll do the doing. Amen? Well, that should be a relief. That should be a relief. You don't have to be perfect in all your ways. You don't have to do all these extracurricular activities. Now, these fasting and praying and reading your Bible, that's all good things. But it's the name of Jesus that gets the job done. In the end of the day, it's still Jesus. So what about this authority in the name of Jesus? Do we all have it? The minute you get born again, you get given the name of Jesus. And you have authority to use the name of Jesus. Well, how come we don't see people doing it all the time? If you don't have a revelation of something, if you don't know what you have, you're not going to use it. You know, if I went out in the bushes in your backyard and buried $500 in a mayonnaise jar and didn't tell you about it, you couldn't very well take that money and go use it, could you? You'd have it. It'd be yours. But you wouldn't be able to do nothing with it if you didn't know it. You know, That sounds like a silly analogy, but we have Christians running around all over the world, all over the country, that have authority in the name of Jesus, that have authority to get healed, that have authority to get prospered, that have authority to get delivered, that have authority to preach in the name of Jesus and do all these things in the Bible, and they don't know it for one of two things. Well, number one, they didn't read the Bible for themselves. This is a biggie. You have to read the Bible for yourself. And this is where you're going to have to... Everybody comes to these crossroads. They'll be reading something in there. And all of a sudden you'll run into something that doesn't agree with what Mama said. Or doesn't agree with what your pastor said. Well, our denomination doesn't believe that. That's not what the doctrine of our church says. You got a choice. And it's not a flip of the coin choice either. You have to look what the Bible said. Look at what it is you believe and decide who's right. Because only one of you is going to be right. There's only one right answer. You have to decide if what you believe is right and you're going to take that over the Word of God, or you're going to believe that God is right and you're going to take that over the Word of your doctrine. If you'll do that, you'll believe what you read. But if you decide you're going to stick with your church doctrine or your old beliefs or whatever it is, you're only going to read what you believe. You're going to find the things that make you comfortable in there. The first thing you need to know about the Word of God is the Word of God is offensive. I know I'm supposed to tell you that it's a comforting thing. It does bring comfort to you. It does bring comfort to your soul, but it will offend your flesh. You know, a true preacher should be like a goat head on your bathroom floor. You're not always going to like him, but you're going to know he's there. Because a true preacher doesn't make you mad. If the preacher doesn't ever offend your flesh, if he doesn't ever make you uncomfortable, if he doesn't ever challenge you, then I got to ask you this question. Is he just fluffing your feathers long enough to get you to the gates of hell? Or are you paying attention at all? You know, you can comfort people all the way to the gates of hell. Make them feel comfortable. Don't offend them. Don't tell them something that's going to make them uncomfortable. But here's the thing. Jesus gave you authority in the name of Jesus. The very minute you got born again, he gave you this authority. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1. Verse 18. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. When you have keys, you have authority. When you have the keys to your car, You're the only one that has authority to open up your car and start it. The only way somebody else can do that is if they break in and steal it, or if you give them the keys. When you give them the keys, you give them authority to start your car. What did Jesus do when he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel in his name? He gave you the keys. He said, here's my authority. Now go use it. Actually, the way it describes it in the Bible is Jesus literally gave you power of attorney to use his name. You know, when you get power of attorney, say mama's not doing well, and she says, here, I'm going to assign this power of attorney over to you. That means you make the legal decisions for her medical or financial, whatever decisions she needs made. You go out in her name to make those decisions. So when you sign something, it's as if she's signing it. That's the same way it is with Jesus. When he gave you his name, when you say something in the name of Jesus, it's just as if he said it. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Literally has the mind of Christ. Paul's telling us to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let this mind be in you. What did it just say? To be equal with God? Be equal with Jesus? He said you was a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, we just talked about the power of attorney. He gave you his name to use. Some people just get a little flaky and they just say, well, that's God. I can't do that. You know, the Bible tells us that you've been made kings and priests. He literally says you've been made little gods. You're not the God. Don't go there. But on this earth, he's given you authority to use his name. And literally to subdue the earth. The animals therein. He's given you authority over these animals. He's given you authority over this earth. So don't try to tell me to live in harmony with the wolf. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to live in harmony with a mountain lion. Just look in the backyard, see how that works. No. People on this earth have the supreme authority on this earth. Amen. We're not equal with animals. And let's get back to where we were here. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and it was made in the likeness of men. That's important. That's important. Jesus on this earth was the best leader that ever walked on this earth. But his focus was on being servant. You'd never be a good leader until you learn how to be a servant. And then, truly, once you figure out, once you finally find yourself in a position of leadership, what you've really found yourself in is in a position of servant. Because a leader is just there to serve and help people along the way. But being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We have to realize that Jesus was a man on this earth. He had flesh and bone on this earth. He ate the same food we eat. He breathed the same air we breathe. He drank the same water we drank. He had to identify with us so that we could identify with him. You can't look at Jesus as being God on this earth. You have to look at Jesus as being a righteous man that got the baptism of the Holy Spirit on this earth. I know he's all God. But he laid deity aside when he was on this earth, so that he could show us how the kingdom operates. When we get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then we can do the same things he did. Amen? See, if we just looked at him as being God on this earth, then that would be our cop-out to not try any of the things that he told us to do. Well, I'm not praying for that sick person. Jesus healed people, but that was God. Jesus cast out devils, but that was God. I know when we come against the devil, somebody needs to get set free, we use the name of Jesus, and it's God that sets them free. But you're the sower. And you've got a job to do in this kingdom. Let's carry on here. He has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Now get this. Right there, he's given you authority in three worlds, basically heaven, earth, and below the earth. And every knee, every name must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. That right there in itself should bring somebody comfort. Because they go to the doctor, and the doctor runs all kinds of blood tests on them and takes hair samples and looks in their ears and rolls their eyes around and comes back and gives them a name that long. And they can't even say the name. And the name is big, and the name is scary, and they just lose their focus right there. When you got to go back to this verse. So that says, at the name of Jesus, every name. Every name. Must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is. It must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. And when you go pray for a loved one, it would be good for you to let them know that whatever has attacked them has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. See, that'll help them receive. That'll help them receive the prayer you pray for them. It's not a good thing to just start praying, you know, just draw from the hip and just start scattering prayers out there. You know, it's just as important to spend a little bit of time visiting with somebody that needs prayer. Talk to them a little bit. Listen to them. See where they're at. You know, sometimes you'll run into people that are wanting a miracle, but they have just about enough revelation to get a healing if the doctor helps them or, you know, something, and that's okay. And then you'll run into people that will just come up to you, and you can tell they're already believing for an absolute miracle. They know it's theirs. They got it in their heart. They've got it out of the Word of God, and they're just looking for you to agree with them. Amen. Not everybody's the same. Have you ever noticed people are not the same? They're different. Imagine that. They're different. In the whole scheme of things, you know, they got fingers and toes and ears and nose and hair. So they're pretty much alike in that, but you know, they got different life experiences. They've got different gears. And you know, just have to spend a little bit of time talking to them. Find out what they believe. Maybe they're just hoping something will happen. Really? So you might have to find a little bit of Bible for them. Open it up with them and show them in the Bible where it says some of this stuff. Let them see it. They may be born again, but they might not know much. But if they can see it for themselves and hear it, they can look at it and say, wow. It'll cause some excitement in their spirit. It'll build faith in their heart. And then you can pray for them. It'll help them receive. Amen? You know, it's important to pray. It's important to pray for people. But it's just as important to prepare the soil. See, you can go out there and you can scatter seed and see how it goes. Some of it may grow, some of it may not. The wind might blow it away, the birds might get it. But if you go out there and kind of prepare that soil, get it shook up a little bit, get it ready, and go put your seed in there and cover it up and pamper it, water it, and take care of it, it's going to take off growing. People are not any different. I know we sometimes people act like it's kind of a out of their way chore to go pray for somebody. But You need to take a little bit of time, talk to them, see what's going on. And it's really important to not just rush into it. You know, somebody, a lot of times people will say, this person needs prayer. And I say, okay. And I say, well, why aren't you praying? I say, because I spent a little bit of time waiting to see if God has any ideas. The Holy Spirit might have something to say about this. So we'll just wait a little bit. But they're in a wreck. I know, they've been wrecking for 45 years. It'll be okay for you to give the Holy Spirit 15, 20, 30 minutes. See what He has to say about the situation. Amen. And then go pray. But God wants you to know that there is authority in the name of Jesus. The one who has the key is the authorized one. And Jesus is saying here that you are the authorized one. He's the authorized one, and He gave you His authority. And the name of Jesus is your number one key. Before He ascended, before He took off to heaven, He told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He gave you the key. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day. As our high priest, taking our prayers and making them perfect before the Father. And the Holy Spirit who's here helping us in our weaknesses, showing us how to pray. You've given us the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for this. We take courage in that name. It's ours because you gave it to us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have snacks, coffee, and fellowship back here.